Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West. Issue 17. And since we're 17 now, we are here to bring you a couple of PSAs that we probably shouldn't have to bring you.
Dear God, no.
Here it is.
Yes. Kat, would you like to start with your PSA first?
Yes, I would, because I'm just so upset by this. I'm from Arizona, so, and my mom still lives there, and so she normally will, you know, leave some stuff about their news and everything on my Facebook, or just leave news on there, and I bumped into something super fascinating.
Fascinating is the term you use.
Fascinating because I'm so surprised by how dumb people are is basically what it comes down to. Dear world, dear viewers, please don't eat Tide Pods. This is from me to you. Please do not eat Tide Pods. For the love of bejesus, do not eat Tide Pods. I understand that Arizona is boring.
It's not just Arizona, though.
I know
this
not.
This is a nationwide phenomenon. And internationally? Like, no. I
hope it's not internationally, because at that point I just give up on the world.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that my insides would just would cave and it would hurt and I would cry. And
so, as part of a broader discussion, what spawns the idea to eat a Tide Pod?
Apparently
it's an internet challenge.
There's that too. So there's been
it's basically like teens daring each other to do this, and then they do it. But Tide Pods can kill you. They have killed people, and the number of people dying has increased because of this Tide Pod challenge.
I'd just like to point out there was literally a toxicologist talking about, please don't eat these. They're bad for you.
It's soap. Why would you willingly eat soap surrounded by a membrane that dissolves?
And also, apparently, when it reacts with saliva, it actually creates toxins. Like, this is, like, one of the things that happens. And, like, so, like, just washing it in the washer is fine, because that's what it's meant to do.
Well, yeah,
but, like,
it's for
it
my
actually
clothes.
Creates,
well, we have
like,
other
toxic
things
chemicals
in our
because
saliva.
Of the reaction. And then also what happens is a lot of people start coughing and then inhale it into their lungs, which is a whole different thing. Yeah, so just generally Tide Pods are meant for laundry. And also Tide Pods in general, like, just be a grown-up and use regular, like, detergent.
I really like Tide Pods. You know what the sad part is?
That's fair.
Is when I witnessed a picture online of them locking up all the laundry Tide
Pods. I saw that too.
I was like, what is happening in my world right now? And that's the thing, is, like, I keep seeing things where it's like, at least when I was younger, I wasn't dumb enough to eat fucking laundry soap.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh
I
my
eat
God.
Smart things like dirt.
Yeah. Well, it's the other half of it too.
That's true.
It's like there's like a bunch of memes where it's literally like, it's like breakfast cereal and it's like a bunch of Tide Pods and bleach. And I'm like, what is wrong with us?
Oh, come on.
I was like,
really? Really?
So to move on to another public service announcement that should not have to be a public service announcement, but thank you, world we live in, for making this a public service announcement. Do not drink, quote, raw water. If you have not heard of this, please do not look into it anymore. This is the new trend with the, no better way to say this, but yuppie elites out there. Raw water is untreated, unsanitized, unfiltered stream water. The FDA also had to put out an announcement about this that, shocker, untreated water can cause diarrhea, dysentery, and a host
you know,
of other
I'm just,
diseases.
I would just like to point out, like, dysentery just sounds really, really horrible. Yeah. Like, just dysentery.
Yeah,
like,
it has dis in it.
Yeah.
And not like the Yo Mama kind of dis, like the dystopian kind of dis. Like, apparently we live in a dystopia of dysentery. This is, like, actually kind of astounding to me, just because, like, so it's untreated, unfiltered water, and it's being sold for, some estimates show $60 per gallon, but it does come in a glass refillable jar where you can refill it for the low, low price of $15.
I would like to point out that all this ever makes me think of right now is the fact that I'm telling people, please don't eat Tide Pods, and also please don't drink water that's, you know, not treated. Yeah. Is the fact that it's like just makes me think of Futurama, where he's like, I don't want to live here anymore.
Yeah, I'm kind of. I've turned a corner on this whole. I'm for both of these things, and the reason I'm for both
natural
of these
selection
things is natural selection.
That's basically and what I keep seeing too. Let natural selection run its course.
There's an entire industry on survival culture, and one of the baselines of that survival culture is to. How do you treat your water in the wild while you're out backpacking and hiking and hunting? So if there's a whole subset of the population that wants to try drinking water at home that isn't that way, cool. Peace out. We'll see you some.
I can honestly somewhere. See that. If you're dropped in the woods in the middle of nowhere and all, that's what you go for, right? Is you go for stream water because it's like the quote unquote maybe the cleanest you can get to.
I mean,
if your intent is to go backpacking or go somewhere.
This isn't an intent. This is like, oh, I've been left here. Shit, I don't know.
I guess. Okay, that's a different. Yeah.
If you're like in a car crash in the mountains and like you need water to survive, then that's probably like not too bad to drink.
At
some
least boil
water.
It. Like just but, rub yeah, some sticks yeah. together, burn.
Boiling it is the safe yes. way, or doing a rock boil where you just heat a rock and drop it into the container. That's a really good way. You also get the minerals from the rocks, which is
ooh,
nice.
Yes. Yes. We could get into this.
Don't eat Tide Pods and what?
Just drink the tap water.
Just drink the tap water.
It's
fine.
It's great.
It's okay.
It's diet even. It's diet. It's great.
Yeah. There's no calories.
No.
It's delicious. It's refreshing.
Oh, yeah. Even he's got some right now.
even Florida tap water is healthier for you than raw water.
Well, that's awkward for me.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go on to comic stuff.
I'm going to go ahead and lead off since I didn't have a PSA.
Go for it.
Do it.
So the Dick Tracy comic book that had been announced from Archie Comics a few months ago has been canceled.
It didn't even get to go.
So this is really funny. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
No.
So the Tribune Content Agency has discovered that the comic rights had already been issued to an unnamed third party.
Well, that's awkward.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, like, they were going to write it, and then, through the process?
There was production art, you know, Archie had been working actively with their writer-artist team to get this off the ground, but, so in a quote, we discovered a pre-existing licensing deal that prevents us from continuing with this project.
Huh.
So that's pretty, like, that's so lame.
That's nice. Really, like, that's funny.
Finding in your, you know, lawyer taps you on the shoulder, we can't do this.
Hey, I'm busy. Yeah. This is important. No!
This dude over here, he has the rights to the comic. I just find this really funny. Like, that's sucks for the people at Archie working on this. I was actually really excited about a Dick Tracy reboot because it's something that you could do really... Well, with today's tech, the watches could be really cool, and it could have been fun. It could have been really interesting. Yeah. So maybe somebody else will do it and not Archie. Yeah.
Maybe the third party already has like a really cool idea for it.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, if they went for it, or it could just be one of those things that's marred in.
They just bought up the rights to have that.
Yeah,
rights.
So they've had them for like 5 years.
Fox, but... what?
What?
What? What was that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Wow, that's a pretty nasty cop cat.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It must have been that raw water.
It just stays with you right here.
Yeah. And here.
Maybe it was the Tide Pod. I'm sorry.
Coming back up. Yeah. Right, anyway.
Wish we had, like, white pixie sticks to be like, off right now.
What news do you have for us, Kat?
So it's really exciting for me because Superman's okay, I guess. So the first comic that Brian Michael Bendis is going to be featured in is Superman or Action Comics number 1000. Woo! 1000.
Woot woot. So what is up with that? Because I heard two different reports from both of you.
It's kind of confusing, but from what it sounds like is there's going to be a 300-page hardcover issue, which will be released with reprints and much more, celebrating, Superman's reign of 80 years. 80 years.
Reign.
Yeah, his fucking ring, goddammit. I'm stoked for it. I'm ready to, like, just throw money at Matt and be like, just take it, just make sure it is there for me. I don't care as long as I have it. But the 1,000 page, it's the number 1,000 is also a special, is going to be a special in itself, so I don't really know. It's kind of like when the article I read is slightly confusing. But there's going to be multiple stories by different people within that issue, and Brian Michael Bendis is going to be a part of one of them. So I'm kind of excited to see his spin on Superman a little bit. It should hopefully be it should be good.
Yeah, I'm just confused about what is the actual issue and what is the trade paperback.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I want both, so that's all that really matters to me. That's the only thing that
okay,
I know.
Okay, so the issue will be released alongside a companion hardcover book.
Yeah, there it is. That's what it is. So they should really word that better. Yeah,
yeah, there's calling it the 1,000 special or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
that's what it's like another 1,000. Yeah, either way, it's a 300 page hard copy with the reprints and so much more about Superman, and I'm like, here's my money.
Damn.
I'm totally okay with this.
It's cool. I mean, I'm really excited for Bendis being at DC. I don't think Superman's the property I want him on.
No, but I'm kind of interested to see what he does with it.
Yeah.
So that's like the one thing I was really excited about is I know that he's done Jessica Jones, stuff like that, so it's kind of one of those things of what's your take on Superman? I'm slightly interested.
Well, because he's also been doing, like, Spider-Man and Iron Man and, like, a bunch of, like, Marvel's
big
titles.
Well, and the Avengers was really where he became... Well, Spider-Man's really where he became the big name.
But. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he has both, like, you know, like, big superhero-level stuff and more, like, gritty
crime
street
level.
Stuff, so...
Yeah, I want to see what he's going to do with my favorite Boy Scout.
Mm-hmm. I still say Teen Titans. Give him Teen Titans.
That would be fun.
Titans. So.
Oh, yeah.
The team with the 20-somethings.
Mm-hmm. I still want to see him just come up with his own characters like he did with, like, Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
That's true. I think, putting those characters, like, creating something within an existing property so that, like, there's already some sort of tie that he can pull through. Like, creating Miles Morales through Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah. Like, I can totally see him, you know, DC loves their alternate universes, so why not have an Ultimate DC universe in which he has, you know, Ultimate Batman or something.
You know what? That's funny that you say that, because maybe he would be suited for doing one of the Earth 1 series. Now we got into Brian Michael Bendis. Anyway.
Doing another Earth 2?
Well, Earth 1. Have you... The Earth 1 stories that are supposed to be set here?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
when there's I'm in. I'm taking my
tons
money.
Tons of characters that haven't been explored yet.
Just take my money. That's probably why they announced them and then pulled him. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Sorry. Anyways, Patrick Sharon.
Yeah, so I was, I don't know. I saw, like, a bit of news that I'm somewhat conflicted about, I guess. Uh-oh. So, Marvel's new editor-in-chief, C.B. Sabluski, made an announcement a little bit ago that Marvel is going to try to push into, like, the manga market a little bit, so...
They've tried that one, not with manga, but they've... Manga, with anime. I actually have all of them.
So this is, according to Cebulski, this is going to be, Marvel, in an attempt to reach, the Eastern Asian market, is going to have two new Chinese superheroes based in China and around China, and their comics will be drawn in manga style.
What's that?
And
yeah, that doesn't that.
Are they using like a Japanese or Chinese illustrator to do them?
I think that's the hope. Okay. I haven't seen an announcement of any artists or writers for any of these. Just like
my only thought right now is,
heroes.
New Superman is Chinese.
Yeah, that's what I was immediately thinking. Was like Chinese Justice League, Chinese Avengers. Like,
what is the new title for that book? It's New Superman and the Justice League of China.
Yeah, something
it's
like
just
that.
New Superman right now.
It's going to change title names.
Oh, is it?
Did
it already change?
No, I think it's the next issue where they have the he gets his new suit.
Yeah, it's just new Superman still, but yeah. So I don't really know how to feel about this, because on the one hand I'm like, okay, I mean, like, that's
in the
cool.
back of my
if
mind.
Get,
it just
like,
makes
the writers
me,
and illustrators.
It makes
like,
me think about the dude that they just
it.
Put in charge too, who was all who
it's
that
the
is that
same
guy.
Yeah, that's the
that
thing
guy.
Where I'm like.
This is not new, though. Like, Marvel had the Mangaverse. That's how Scotty Young became a name. That's where K.R.A. Andrews first debuted with Marvel Comics. This is,
well, that's the other thing, too. Is
but
they
this
also
is not going to be, like, a verse. This is just going to be two new characters in the regular Marvel universe.
And then their books will be done in the manga style.
And their books will be done in the manga style.
And set in
China. Yes, set in the China of the regular MCU.
I don't understand that at all.
Like I said, they've done something similar before where they did it with anime. They did X-Men, Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, it was the manga-verse. It was Spider-Man was a kid who, like, was trained as a ninja, and his big enemy was Daredevil.
I didn't manage to get that one, but there was, I have Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's like, Iron Man, X-Men, and Wolverine, which were all really good. I actually really liked them, and I was hoping that I would get more, but
well, and then there was a storyline called Wolverine Snicked with, Nike, who did Blam, did an entire miniseries about Wolverine, like, that gets transported into an alternate cyberpunk future.
I don't, it's kind of my thing.
I don't know how to feel about this.
I'm not,
honestly.
But the thing is it's like, one, I'm not shocked because, dude, what's your track record?
Yeah, I don't, like, the more I was reading about this guy, the more I was like, do you honestly think that you're just, like, an Asian guy? Like,
yeah,
I don't,
like, he's, so this, like, why, so we brought up New Superman already. That's probably the correct approach, is to just get Asian creators to work on an Asian character set in the Marvel Universe's Asia.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, if they do that, it can be fine, and as long as they're good writers like they did with New Superman, even though they just changed writers from my boy Gene Yang not writing it anymore, no, but,
flip over my laptop.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was just this issue, actually, and I'll get into it review-wise, actually. So not too much, but yeah, I mean, like I said, it depends on who they get, and if it's not just forced because they're like, we need a new market, here are new characters, read them. And if they actually have, like, a good team. There's no release date on this, like, initiative yet, so I don't
it
think
it might also be
roll
so
it
they
out,
can
like,
retract
within
it.
The year.
They can retract it if need be.
Because
Marvel's, I would say one thing that's pretty good with Disney is if they feel like they're getting too much bad press, they will, not retract, but, like,
yeah.
Angle a different way.
Yeah, well, this has been announced for a couple of days now, if not a week, so it's, I haven't seen anything, any pushback against it. I mean, I think everyone's just like, we'll see what happens, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, that's really, it's just an odd, I feel like this is odd. Like, that's yeah. The best way to put it. It's not like anything in particular, it's just weird. Like, it just seems kind of off. I don't know, like, pushing the stylistic choice seems incorrect to me. Like, why are you not just introducing a new character? Better yet, why
that
are you not
specifically to appeal to the manga market?
Okay.
So the reasoning behind it is, from what I understand, purely financial.
Okay.
It's that manga and Japanese comics have a very strong foothold already in, obviously, Japan, China, Korea, Southeast Asia, in that market. And so they're just trying to sort of slip in there, like, under the radar with people who are already used to that, and then be like, oh, hey, there's these new comics from this, like, really underground publisher, Marvel.
Well, that's yeah, okay.
I'm just over here and I'm like, I like Seven Seas. Yeah, that's where.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's.
So, I mean, especially if they're Chinese, if they're going to be Chinese superheroes, I don't really see why it's being done in, like, a manga style.
Yeah, like, why. Maybe there's a lost in translation kind of thing happening here where it's like.
I know manga is huge in China, but, like, I don't know. I'm just really confused. And
me too.
We'll see.
And
how
where is Hero 6?
Speaking as a person who.
What do you mean?
Like, why are we not getting a new Big Hero 6 comic book within the Marvel Universe?
That would be really cool, but that doesn't take place in China. It takes place in San Francisco.
No. I'm not talking about the Disney Big Hero 6. I'm talking about the original Big Hero 6 that is Asian superheroes.
That's true.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's where they got it from.
Big Hero 6 was originally a Marvel property that then got pseudo-adapted into a animated film, which is fantastic, but anyway, I guess.
Interesting.
Moving on.
Okay, moving on. What else do you have for us, Nat?
So, the writers of Spider-Man Homecoming, Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daley, are in talks to direct Flashpoint.
Yeah.
DC Flash movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like John Francis Daley a lot. I think he's a really funny actor, so.
Yeah.
And I think giving comedic writers a good shot at directing has been really good in the past.
Yeah.
It worked really well for Marvel, considering the Russo brothers were major writers and directors on Community before going into Captain America Winter Soldier, which is not only one of the best Marvel films, in my opinion, but kind of dark. Like, that's not exactly a clean, happy-go-lucky Marvel film the way that, like, Guardians is. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm up for anything at this point. It's like,
yeah, we'll see what happens. I saw that, and I didn't actually put it down because I was like, okay,
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, yeah, I guess is this the third announced directorial team for this?
Well, and that's the other half of like how I feel. I felt about most of the news this week. I was like, huh, neat.
I don't know. I think it's cool.
Scroll down.
At least it is actual named progress on this movie. Yeah. DC is in a restructuring phase right now, so I guess signs point to cool. At least taking a chance.
I really hope at some point in the Flashpoint movie, when he's like, you know, redoing the world and like running through the
universes,
that he like actually runs through like the DC film headquarters.
Oh, that would be like so funny.
And there's like a bunch of like the directors like arguing over like which way to take the film and stuff like that.
Well, there's
right?
the
DCU. You got some serious.
Maybe
like,
Jeff Johns can throw that in there, like just be like, we have one scene we really want in this.
Wouldn't that be great though? Like if it just shows like different flashes of like the world as it's being changed, and the ones just like the DC executive room where they're like, right, these guys.
The one thing I will say too is that they finally have come out and admit they can't do what Marvel did, so that makes me really happy. They finally just admit, well, we can't do what they're doing. I'm like, yeah, no shit. They've had how many years to do it?
I don't... Are you talking about the thing that Ken Sugihara had said?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the meme that Ken Sugihara was like, yeah, we can't just copy what they did, yet they hired the screenwriters of... Spider-Man Homecoming, and then there's another thing that they have
I will
done.
Say this, though, is, like, I kind of hope that movie may be closer to, like, an R rating than a PG-13, because Flashpoint is fucked.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go for the R.
Probably not.
Yeah.
If there's going to be an R-rated superhero movie out of the DCU, it'll be the Batman movie from...
Which they're talking about replacing him with Jake Gyllenhaal. So I'm like, all right. Ben Affleck. Ugh.
There's so many ways to do that, especially if Flashpoint comes out first, where you can have Affleck be the Batman at the beginning, and then when Flash returns into the Batcave, if they do that element of the story, and he hands the note from Thomas Wayne, and the Batman that he hands the note to is Jake Gyllenhaal, and you go, whoa, oh shit, like... He screwed up the timeline, so now this is the Bruce we have.
Yeah.
And just fixes it right away. Cool.
Yeah, and then all the people whose contracts are ending / don't want to be in it anymore can just have new actors.
Yeah, Flashpoint will work.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Cool.
Alright. What else do you have for us, Kat?
So, I kind of want to talk about it, but Tom King has come out saying that they want to put a place called Sanctuary within... the DCU. Sanctuary is a PTSD facility for superheroes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I actually find really, really cool because someone close to me deals with PTSD like on a daily basis, and that shit's real, man. Like, and when you think about it too, like, yeah, You've got Batman who just literally punches the shit out of people all night long. That, you know that there's something wrong up there.
Well, yeah, like, I think the Batman's the perfect character. And Tom King has been writing Batman now for 39 issues. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and the other half of it is, too, is he's doing Mr. Miracle, and that's, yeah, like, another thing where they're dealing with something similar to that.
I'm just laughing because, like, Patton Oswalt just put out a stand-up special a couple, mm-hmm, months ago, and he talks about, like, Batman in it because, like, Patton Oswalt's wife recently died, and he's like, the first thing you do after your loved ones die isn't, like, get super jacked and, like, go out and fight things. He's like, Batman would be the worst slam poet in Gotham. Bang, bang, my parents are dead.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah,
so they're talking about doing that, and it's kind of, I think it's really interesting, because at the end of the day, when you think about it, superheroes have a tendency to set unrealistic expectations. Obviously they're whatever, but at the same time, when you try to relate to those characters and you're like trying to push yourself so far, and it's, in the reality is, you need to stop and you need to take, yeah, a minute. Putting something like that in comics, I think, is really good.
I think that's his exploration of Batman has been a lot of that. I mean, the second arc is called I Am Suicide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was I Am Gotham, I Am Suicide. And I think that's, he's been exploring that whole idea, because the thing about Batman is he's a 10-year-old with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
That's different from what storytelling, if the, what happened to Bruce's parents happened when he was 19, you wouldn't have Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Batman is the fantasy of a 10-year-old trying to cope with what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's the difference, and mm-hmm, why we sort of, in this over-analytical age that we're in with storytelling, where, you know, you can't just take a face value idea of this is the comic book origin, which in, mm-hmm, you know, the 30s, okay, we had no frame of reference. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Is to, like, explore that from a psychological perspective of what would be the breakdown of a kid seeing this. So,
well, you can thank the 1960s and 70s rise of literary criticism for that.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But that was the one thing that I found really interesting, and I actually really liked it, because at the end of the day, like, they're not human, but they're not superheroes all the time either. Like, Mr. Miracle is honestly one of the most solid pieces I've seen, because he's like trying to deal with himself and ends up trying to kill himself. Like, it's insane. And the funny thing is, too, is I didn't know this about Tom King either, but apparently he was in the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was reading about it, and he's like really close to that stuff too. So I found it really fascinating, and I actually really kind of am happy about it.
Wow,
yeah.
He's grown to be one of my favorite writers.
I can't say that I disagree with that statement, because the stuff that he brings up is, he touches on mental illness in a way where, one, it's not triggering. I don't think it's necessarily triggering for others as well, because I know that's also a pretty big thing, but he's pretty good. I mean, Mr. Miracle is one thing, but he touches on it in a way where it's not blatantly in your face, but it makes you think about it, which I can appreciate.
Yeah, he's like, especially like getting into the hard topics, Tom King knows how to like walk like the razor's edge of, mm-hmm, being like too sort of like misrepresentative of it, and too flippant kind of with it.
So the best way I can put it is, he knows how to avoid those certain triggers that are that can be damaging to a person. Like, Mr. Mm-hmm. Miracle fucks with your head, but it fucks with your head in other ways. Mm-hmm. Like, the opening scene was pretty messed up, but the thing is like, there's a big thing with actually showing the action, because that is actually really, really, really bad to do to people who are, mm-hmm, either already having issues, or sometimes, mm-hmm, not even, I don't know if it's not at all, but sometimes having those.
Yeah.
It kind of gets me into a string about, like, one of the biggest ones was 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too.
Yeah, because it was the biggest thing with that is, one, you don't ever show something like that on camera, especially to people who are so vulnerable, where it's what it's set into for young adults, because that's dangerous to do. It's literal, like, psychologists have actually said, do not do this, and they didn't listen to them.
Yeah.
Tom King is pretty good about not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's even the other things that I've read where some authors will actually, if it's something like that, they will make a list of triggers for people to warn them, hey, if this, you know, don't read this for this reason, stuff like that. And he's pretty good about keeping it within that line, so...
He also is good about talking in a layman's terms. Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy for any reading audience to understand what he's saying, but mm-hmm. you can't analyze it because of what he's put into the depth of the writing, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's...
But this is cool. I really like... I think it's an interesting concept.
Well, I'm really curious. Honestly, I kind of want them to do a, a special sanctuary issue where they see the different, like, big superheroes.
When is mental awareness, like, Mental Health Awareness Month? Because mm-hmm. that would be a good time to put that yeah. together.
So, from my understanding is it's supposed to start appearing in DC.
It's going to appear in Batman. I mean, that's...
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's his main title. That's his bread and butter at DC right now.
Hmm. Interesting.
But while Kat looks that up, I have a little small piece of news. Well... Not really small. Marvel is going to regain the comic book rights to Conan the Barbarian in January of 2019. And that'll be the first time since 2000 that Marvel has had the rights to that character. They had it previously from 1970 to 2000. Some of like the classic runs of Conan happened within Marvel's comic book world.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Conan a DC property?
No, currently? Conan is a Dark
Horse.
Yeah, I was
gonna say, he's Dark Horse.
Mm. And Dark Horse has done an amazing job with the character. It's just in the past few years, the readership has been down. I don't know where this happened, but the announcement went official, and they're talking about going straight into doing the comics right again in January of next year. So it's a year away, but I don't know. You could do some really cool stuff. Conan actually started a lot of like artists' careers. There are people who are known for that, so...
Hmm. Interesting.
And the Conan, like, the Dark Horse book, when it first flipped, the first run that they did with, Cary Nord as the penciler was amazing. So good. So, hopefully good stories come out of it. Good fantasy stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to that. See what happens there.
Yeah.
So, King has kept everything pretty vague from the looks of it. Okay. It says that it's just a concept. I don't know how old this article is. It's the first thing I could find, though.
Okay.
I
have been hearing about this, though, in the past, like, couple days.
Yeah, because it showed up a couple times, and like I said, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Patrick, do you have any more news?
I do. It's none of it's, like, too crazy big, so I think I can just, like, run through it real quick, unless you have any more news, Kat.
Nope.
Okay, so firstly, I saw that Tim Miller is in talks to direct a Kitty Pryde solo film.
So Tim Miller's in talks to direct 7 projects from his company.
Okay, so, yeah. Fair enough. Tim Miller is being the director of Deadpool, yep. So... okay, well, then he'll, that...
With the Fox deal that's happening with Marvel and Disney, sure. I mean, cool. That's great, but he's working actively on a Terminator film with James Cameron, like, hand-in-hand to do another Terminator movie, and that is Tim Miller's next project, for sure.
Yeah, well...
So we'll see what happens.
There wasn't any specific talks about dates or, like, anything like that. I just saw that he was talking about it, so...
Yeah. He's a cool dude. Tim Miller, like, watch some interviews with this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying anything about him.
He's a sweaty... Like, he is, go to the comic book store every Wednesday, pick up his stuff. Like, he's my kind of people. Tim Miller.
No, that wasn't really for him. I guess it was more of, like, I hate X-Men right now. I legitimately just do not care about X-Men.
Well, it's not going to be X-Men. It's just going to be Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, see, and I've never had that big of a fascination with her. And it's probably because I've never gotten into X-Men.
Well, that's going to be a problem, too, is, like, do you jump on any project right now that's relating an X-Men character when it could be folded into the Marvel Universe?
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, moving on from that to something that's more set, we got our first image of Ant-Man and the Wasp from the upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp film.
Run to cell phone Google now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So far there's no teaser trailer or, like, a theatrical trailer, but yeah, we just got an image of Jennifer Pfeiffer Jennifer Pfeiffer, or sorry, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah, Michelle. I'm so caught up in mispronouncing names that I also mispronounce her first name. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer as the Wasp, standing next to Paul Rudd as Ant-Man.
Oh, that's Evangeline Lilly.
What?
This image?
Yeah.
That's Evangeline Lilly as Wasp.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay.
I couldn't really tell because her face is totally covered with a mask.
Sorry, honey, but I know those eyes.
Okay. Sorry, both Michelle and Evangeline. There's a big giant wasp mask covering the face, so I just kind of assumed.
Pretty dope.
I guess really like cool looking.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna have both old and new Wasp in this film.
Hell yeah. Because Michelle Pfeiffer is playing Janet Van Dyne, right?
She is playing Hope Van Dyne.
Evangeline Lilly is playing Hope.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. I'm totally confused.
I can't even talk. So you've got hers is Hope Pym. Hank Pym. Yes, I love her.
Yeah,
Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer is amazing.
Hi, buddy.
Just complete tangent because you know we're just talking about.
I just see her and I'm like Catwoman.
Well, yeah, it's like my younger years. I fell in love with both Kim Basinger and Michelle Pfeiffer because they were the female love interests.
I'm just saying that I get to watch all those movies this week. And I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
Like, I get to watch all the Batman movies because they're all on Netflix. Like, there's Batman Forever, the original Batman. There's even the shitty Batman and Robin. Oh, I'm so excited.
The 1966 movie?
No. Like, the one with George Clooney.
You're not sending me to that fool.
Are you going to play the drinking game for it where you take a drink every time Mr. Freeze makes an ice pun?
Oh, God. I'd be dead.
Yeah. You're just annihilated at the end of that.
At 30,000 feet, your heart will freeze and beat no more.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Everyone, let's chill out.
Chill.
I like how he has to like pause too.
One of the best parts is I remember because those movies came out. I think when I was like 5 or 6. So those movies.
Wow, I feel old.
You mean that movie?
That movie specifically.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I wasn't born with the other one, the first one, but when the George Clooney one.
What? You weren't born in 89?
No, not.
Oh my god. I was old enough to remember going to see that movie in theaters. Anyway.
I just remember I loved that movie when I was a kid. I freaking loved it because they had Batgirl. I was like, yeah, Batgirl! Ah, good movies, good times.
I was of the age when that movie came out that I got angry that her suit didn't have bat nipples.
No!
But the guys did. So I was
like, forgot about that!
So, yeah.
God,
I just broke cap.
You did! I totally forgot about it. It's been a few years.
Patrick,
I bought all four of them on Blu-ray. Watch it.
So other news, going from Marvel to DC, or I guess we're already on DC.
You're right.
Black Lightning just debuted on the CW with the highest debut viewership since Legends of Tomorrow in 2016.
Wow. Was it just the streaming viewership? Because it didn't actually premiere on TV, right? Or
no, it premiered
no,
on
it did.
TV.
The CW.
Oh, it did. Oh, okay.
On the CW, yep, this past Tuesday. And so they do have it on their website for free. You can go there and watch it if you don't have cable, or if, like me, you have
cable,
it's just not hooked up.
Right.
I'm just like, who has cable anymore?
Well, to get internet, you need to buy cable most of the time. Like,
no.
Either that or
you're getting gypped, dude. Yeah.
No, like I've tried it before without the cable, and you just get crappy internet.
Huh?
Like,
you might be right. I was looking at that the other day. Anyways,
yeah.
I feel robbed.
So what
yeah,
was
so
the
do I.
What was the verdict on episode one?
So I watched it just last night, and it is interesting. There's ways it can go. It didn't really grab me like a lot, but
I will
to be
say
fair,
one
like
thing
none,
this,
really none of like the CW
shows have.
Like, shows have, like, super... right off the bat grab me. It usually takes, like, at least half a season to sort of really get into them.
I mean, I really liked Supergirl when I first started watching that.
I also just started watching that this week, too, so you're welcome for that.
It's pretty great.
It's a fun show. So I'm hoping...
I'm curious how that's going to connect with everything, too, because that's a part of the Arrowverse, isn't it? Or are they leaving it outside of it?
Question mark.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just like... It's,
if season one is good enough, they'll fold it in randomly.
It's so frustrating because I don't know. I haven't been a real big fan of Arrow in a long time, but I have to watch Arrow so I can see the big episode where they all connect, and it's just like, it's bullshit.
I handle that. I handle that stuff the same way I handle comic books. Hey, this issue looks really interesting. I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
I probably should go that way. But either way, it's really frustrating because, like, I don't understand what's going on over here. And got... Bah!
Honestly, the Arrow one where they bring in, like, Supergirl and the Flash was kind of disappointing.
I've heard this year's like, really good.
Yeah,
did they do another one?
Yeah, they did Crisis on Earth X, where like they have alternate versions of the characters too.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I love those ones
because it was one of those things where you could just tell that it was such a gratuitous cameo by both of them that it was just so.
And then I think about the
he's like, we need to call in backup, and then like the Flash punched a guy and Supergirl punched a guy, and they just leave. See, and you're like, really? Like, you have like eight Arrow team members, and like none of them could have punched that guy.
Well, the worst part of that one was too is like Supergirl wasn't even really in the first one. That frustrated the shit out of me.
Well, in the first crossover, she wasn't even part of the CW universe.
Yeah, that's true. In the first crossover,
What was the thing?
Back to Black Lightning.
It. As you probably would expect from this day and age in a show like Black Lightning, there was some definitely, like, bits of racial tension.
CW doesn't normally get very political. They're very... Yeah. If they do get political, it's over certain things.
Yeah, like, one of the first scenes in it is, like, the police pulling him over with his daughters and stuff. And it's actually, like, it was a really powerful scene. Like, it was really well made. And then for the rest of the episode, it kind of doesn't really touch on any of those themes. So we'll see if they bring it back. If they keep that trail up, or, like, most superhero comics that start off with some sort of, like, quote, minority character, if it just brings that up and then goes straight into punching bad guys.
I enjoy watching them punch bad guys.
I like them punching bad guys too, but like if you're going to go like a political route or a punching bad guys route, I would like to see consistency, I guess.
Yeah.
And like the thematic arc instead of just being like punch, punch, punch. Hey, I'm black. Punch, 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 punch.
Hey, I'm black.
Wow.
He has a point.
He does have a point. It's just like...
I mean, like, I could have phrased that a little better, I guess, but like...
That hits the point on the head.
You know what I mean. So, and then the last one is just like a little bit of news for me, personally. But one of my favorite, I guess it's kind of like comic news, but one of my favorite authors, Juno Diaz, is putting out a children's book in March with art by Leo Espinosa. And so it's actually like kind of a comic. It's a kid's picture book. Yeah, it's pictures and words. Juno Diaz is awesome. He's a Pulitzer and MacArthur winning author who currently teaches at MIT and just like the most badass mofk ever. So the fact that he like with his last book, This Is How You Lose Her, he won the MacArthur, and now his next book, he might have done, it's either his next book or like it's been two books, but he's like, I'm gonna write a children's book.
That's awesome.
So yep, said that he got inspiration from like his goddaughters, which is just adorable. And yeah, so I'll definitely be reviewing that when it comes out. And he will also be going on tour for its release. Unfortunately, his closest appearance is going to be in Texas, which
I would love to see you in Texas.
I may or may not drive down to Texas. No, I probably won't go to Texas just to like listen to him speak, but
it's
really,
it.
I'm really on the edge about it.
I've been to Texas once.
Yeah. Well, I still need to go to Texas because I hear dry rub is good.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, if I really want swamp ass, I'll go somewhere else.
if you want real swamp ass, then you go to the real swamp south.
That's true.
Speaking of swamp ass. Yeah. Let's jump into our review discussion. So yeah, we're going to talk about Devilman Crybaby on Netflix, episode number one. So I had this has been blowing up my Twitter feed. I'm hearing, this is the first great masterpiece on Netflix of 2018 to, this is garbage as smut that should not have been put out on any network.
In the back of my mind, if I could flip over my laptop right now and it wasn't as expensive as it was, I would.
So yeah, so this is yesterday watching episode one was the second time I attempted to watch episode one, because the first time I was watching it with English dubbing, and I found it to be so poorly written that I was like, has to be the translation. Like, it can't just be the writing itself. That it has to be the way it was translated and trying to match it up.
I don't know
what audience this is for.
And
you know, feel free to tell me I'm completely out of my mind, but I didn't like this at all. Didn't like it at all. I had read something that said style over substance, and I'm not even sure there was any style in this. Like, it was, I don't know.
Anyway. Cat's turn?
Sure, yeah.
No. I literally, you can even ask my girlfriend, I paused it, and I'm like, I still have to deal with 9 more minutes of this shit.
Yeah.
I do not know what I just watched, besides the fact that I'm pretty sure I watched like a half satanic porno, and what was that?
Yeah, like when they got in.
I honestly, personally speaking, I always have a harder time with animes that don't have hard lines in them, because I feel like sometimes it blends.
Is that like, yeah, it I don't know if like
you noticed that. The other thing is too is I felt like it felt so sloppy.
Yeah, that was the thing for me, is like, with the exception of transformation sequences,
those were just horrifying.
They were horrific, and they were animated well? Question mark.
I mean, most of those transformations, number one, the first one that I saw in that weird club thing, the Sabbath / sex party thing, I'm not gonna lie, that kind of shit can, like, upset a person, because it just makes me think of fucking Space Dandy with the giant boob monster, and most of them, the way they transformed, was from their, like, sexual organs. I was like, what am I witnessing?
Patrick?
I really liked it. I wasn't enthralled by it in such a way. I was intrigued enough. I actually went on and watched the second episode after it.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the style that it was done in.
Okay.
I like the sort of like, psychedelic, cause when they're in the club, Devilman Crybaby, like when he gets the Devilman or the devil or whatever, and they're like at this club and doing like ecstasy or drugs or whatever, and then like these people start turning, like his friend starts just like cutting people,
right? He bottles up a wine bottle and just fucking goes whole ham.
And then people start turning into demons. I thought that this was like a hallucination sequence at first, and then it took me like a little bit to realize. I don't know. I think the style actually really contributes well to like the substance that's going in it, because like it since it is not a hard line and like the colors are very like vibrant and like not That's realistic fair. Like a typical anime, that lends itself to like this sort of psychedelic hallucinatory feel that it has going on in it. And like when they do start to transform from this into all those things, it is like, it's, I mean, like, I, like, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing is definitely, like, I'm interested to see, like, how that actually plays out other than just sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right.
Just, oh my God.
But, like, I don't know, I thought it was very intriguing as, I still don't really care about, like, the plot or, like, the concept of what's happening.
I really just didn't.
But I really enjoyed the like tone and the ride, I guess, of just
what language did you watch it in?
I watched it in English.
English, okay.
That's the thing though, is I'm pretty sure I had the Japanese subtitles on. They're really exactly it's the same thing.
Is it?
It's
is
about
it?
The same dialogue.
Okay.
My thing is usually with animes I give them 3 episodes. This one, I'm pretty sure I'm just gonna just, we're just, we'll just, no.
I don't know that I can watch another one because I don't, stylistically, it didn't work for me. And I liked the psychedelic aspect of it, but by that time I was so turned off by just like, it felt like every instance for me was a turn of a dime. Like,
I guess in the back of the
like, boom, we're gonna switch tones. Completely from one.
I guess in
the
back of my mind is like the other half of it was too. Is like I said, like every time that I saw, like you saw them transform, or at least the first few, they all transformed from their like sexual organs. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, since when is sex evil?
Yeah, I was wondering if that was an overt message that they were going for.
See, that was kind of my big thing too. Is like when I saw that, I'm like, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of terrible things going on right here, but I'm pretty sure these are all consensual adults right now.
Well, and I was wondering, yeah, like you just said, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Like, yeah. is that supposed to be the portrayal, like that culture, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, like that idealism is what allows the devils to penetrate you?
I don't even
know. So at least
and penetrate feels like the right word to use here.
Let's say,
at least from watching the second episode, that's why I brought up the question, because like it continues a lot of there's still a lot of blood, like some like sexual themes, and it's getting slightly more clear as to what is happening. And I would argue that they, at least from watching a little bit more of it, I still don't know where it's going to go, but it's not the fact that it is sex that makes it evil, but it's more of the objectification that makes it evil, because there is, in the first episode, and it gets a little bit more into this in the second episode, there's like the guy who's the boyfriend who's like a model photographer or whatever, and it gets more into his story a little bit. So he's just like a sleazy scumball kind of guy.
Well, yeah, like I mean, the girl's what, 16? Maybe?
She's pretty young.
Yeah, she's still in high school.
Yeah, she's still in high school. So,
And then like his editor in the second episode explicitly says like you're paid to take pictures of nude young girls, and so like I don't know if it's necessarily that they're saying that sexuality is bad or that drugs are bad or that violence is bad, but our portrayal of them and how we go about like
what's the thing is none of the devils really showed up until he started cutting people. So yeah. It sounds like you have to have all three in order for them to like.
Well, he just
really
said in it that the blood draws them out, so it's not even the sex and the drugs part for the devils, it's the violence.
And then the flashback sequence, which actually, for me, was the most interesting part of the entire first episode, was the Professor Fukuyama,
that was just...
Where he's literally, like, you got the sense that the devil inside was talking to him. And then he was so annoyed by the birds that he literally like mutilates one, and that blood act I think completely succumbed to the devil inside. And see, then that, like, led itself to a concept that I found interesting, was that, like, the devils were becoming more prevalent, and, like, our obsession with athletes, and that athletes that are so much further along that they seem like they're using drugs might be a devil inside them. Mm-hmm. Like, there were concepts in that that I was actually really intrigued by. And then the sex club, and I was like, whoa! Whoa! It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I should have realized that all of the shots of the girls standing in the race, like, in the first 30 seconds, that this was going to go that way.
Well, not necessarily, because fanservice is just an anime trope.
Okay.
You know? Like, having, part, like, yeah, the totally. Big bouncing boobs and, like, the ass shot or whatever.
Well,
like,
the other half of it was, like, too, okay, is they added, anime. They had girls making out in that club, they had dudes making out in that club. I'm pretty sure I saw two girls having sex, and then I saw two dudes having sex. I saw a lot of things.
Yeah,
there was this was all of like 5 minutes too. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm uncomfortable.
Well, and this is one of those things too. Culturally, I would be interested in seeing like how this plays in Japan. Like, what's the Japanese response mm-hmm. to this?
That is true, because drugs like of any kind are like so taboo there. It's mm-hmm. it's just unbelievable.
There's a lot of things that are taboo there, like.
I have a friend that lives over there, and have another friend that lived over there for a while, and like even like marijuana is like not only like legally taboo, but like socially people there, like it's like if DARE, like DARE, like worked for an entire country. Like, not weed, not even once.
That's great.
Yeah. So,
but
so like the fact that they had like this really explicit portrayal of like not even just like a soft drug like weed, but they were fucking going hard.
Yeah,
like,
they were like, yeah,
like ecstasy. Well, cocaine, it was like, here, heroin,
let me
tablets.
Put it on my tongue and then.
Yeah.
Face fuck you so that you can just swallow it right away. This is definitely, we're gonna have to have like explicit warnings on this.
And watch my boobs turn into like weird things that are gonna eat you. I think it's, oh god, like I said, it's just like flashbacks of space.
I'm sorry.
Space standing the with a boob
on. And I have to talk about this, and I really don't want to, but it's the image stuck in my head, was the one where it was front to back underside, and it was just a mouth with teeth.
Oh god.
Oh, and it like came
and
out.
Just, I was like,
I didn't want to bring it up because it only makes me think of that stupid movie Teeth. I'm just like, oh yeah.
It made me think of The Thing, actually. If you've ever seen the 1980s John Carpenter Kurt Russell movie,
no, but yeah, it's
just like the chest chomp scene when he goes in to do like CPR and just opens up and eats his hands. But like that one specifically was like a mixture. It has like teeth and The Thing rolled all into one.
Man, I was. As I was watching, I'm
in
like,
the back of my mind, I'm like, my virgin eyes. Wait a minute.
Oh, that makes sense. Apparently, for our viewers, Nat had a little bit of an upset stomach this morning.
Oh, yeah.
is it a little bit of a
grotesque imagery
hangover from like that thing? Like most people wake up, they're like, oh, what did I drink last night? And now wakes up like, oh, what did I watch last night?
Yeah,
that's kind of how I felt when I was watching.
I had to palate cleanse. I actually went and watched the episode 1 of Ronya on Amazon Prime, the Studio Ghibli CG animated series. Because I was like, I need something light now.
I turned on that 70s show after. I was like,
hilarious.
I'm done.
I did watch some Supergirl after.
It was not easy. So since you were more positive, obviously, than Kat and I, are you going to continue?
I think I will continue watching it. It's not going to be... It's probably going to be one that I kind of... For me, there's, like, two types of shows. There's, like, background shows and, like, put all my literary analysis into watching shows. And I think this one, for now, is going to be kind of a background show.
Okay.
I don't... There wasn't enough, like, thematic and tonal, like, substance to really, like, get into analytically. I mean, like, if I really wanted to, I could probably talk about this from, like, a gender theory lens, but, like, I don't want to talk about that.
I would be interested in seeing, like, an analysis of Akira himself. Like, because his characterization is weird in the show.
So
at least episode one.
To like spoil episode two, he's literally a different person in the second episode.
That's what I read.
Yeah.
So after he transforms into the Devil Man.
After he transforms into the Devil Man, he is in physically and mentally an entirely different character. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that, I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, they foreshadowed that in the conversation that they had. It's like if there was somebody who could balance the devil and the man, they would be like an incredibly superpowered being, so to speak.
So I'm interested to see, and like it could continue really interestingly, or it could drop off into like a really stereotypical anime plot line, which like, you know, isn't necessarily bad, but like from something that's like initially so jarring, especially
so fucking horrific
especially like for the genre.
Yeah,
It would be really disappointing to me if it just kind of devolved into, like, a monsters fighting monsters kind of anime.
I, like, legitimately, like, I don't know, it made my skin crawl a little bit watching that. I'm just like, I am, no thank you.
Tell you what, though. I'm gonna pop on that Godzilla anime. Thank you, Netflix, for at least having that just readily available for
Dear
you,
God,
right, to
yes.
hit play on.
Oh, God.
All right. So,
do we have time to do the hit one review each? Kind of a quick one, or do you think we're running long?
I think we'll just, I mean, I don't know how many we all have, but I figured we could just save everything for them in the next one.
I don't think we have a big review to do either, so let's just do them all in our 0.5 episode.
Well, cool. Well, we went into weird places on that one, so hopefully you get some brain-melting knowledge on that.
All right. My brain hurts. Anyway, let's say bye.
Bye.
Bye.